are live. Hello, hello everyone. This is Lou Anne Marine and welcome to Answering the Call of Your Purpose. I have a beautiful Stephanie Allard here, our latest guest, and I'm just so excited to have you here, Stephanie. Welcome. Welcome here.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. And I know it's been such a journey. We've booked it and then we've cancelled and booked it and cancelled, but it's also a lesson in patience, I think, all in good timing. So I'm just want to jump straight in. And of course, just as a reminder for those who are watching this, I've really invited amazing guests like Stephanie here because I see that they have answered the call of their purpose. Like they're doing their purposeful work, and there's always a bit of a journey to that. So, you know, and every one of them has been unique. But Stephanie, let's just jump in and just tell us a little bit about yourself and what are you actually doing now?
Thanks so much for having me on the podcast. I've been a great admirer of your work and the, you know, how you build community. So thanks. And I love the title of this podcast. And, you know, because I think it's so important, even more so in these times, for people to start following their passion and purpose. It's otherwise, you know, it can be detrimental to people's health and, you know, happiness. My story, if I reflect on what I've been involved in for the last kind of 18 years since I left high school and uni, has been just that, following, you know, my highest excitement and what I felt drawn to, and that burning desire that I see in a lot of people today of wanting to make a difference to others. So, and I thank my parents for that, because obviously, you know, you need a roof over your head and that sort of launch pad to be able to say, what do I want to do?
Yes.
And so yeah, that took me to, I you know, and inspired by a teacher at high school, actually, who really taught us about what was happening in the world, geography teacher, Mrs. Griffiths, which again shows that, you know, how important it is to draw out the passion in others as well, to kind of identify it and really encourage them on that journey. So yeah, so I basically, after high school, wanted to experience a developing country, just because I'd heard, you know, we'd studied that there was poverty in the world, and I got very involved in all the activities at school, like the Amnesty International Club and that sort of thing. So I wanted to be able to experience, because I'm one of those people that, you know, learns by experience, and I think experience is very powerful. So I signed up for this trip to Nepal with the Duke of Edinburgh. It was a 3-month trip in the beginning with 30 people. And I just remember having that feeling at the start of it, like this, you know, before I left, really nervous, kind of excited feeling that this trip is going to change my life in some way. And it did. And so when I was in Nepal, I was very moved and inspired by the generosity of the people and the hospitality, despite them having nothing, you know, like a lot of us are when. So I went over with the group to Nepal with the Duke of Edinburgh, and was very moved and inspired by that trip, and got asked to come back as a leader. So then I was a co-leader for groups of architects from Australia to go over to Nepal and support building things in communities. And that was very eye-opening for me, because there were lots of different ways that it wasn't quite working with the communities. We had these architects that had been at uni and designing ways to build in these remote communities. But when we got there, the materials weren't there, and that we didn't have a translator. So there was no way to communicate with the locals. So there were lots of challenges which made me super curious to understand, how do we make a difference in places like this, where we're not from, and maybe even where there's a language barrier. So I went back to Kathmandu, and the group went back to Melbourne, and I visited like every organisation that would have me, basically, to learn how they were creating change, and learnt very quickly that the ones that were building people's capability and capacity were really solid and having fantastic outcomes, and those that were based on handouts and, you know, giving things for free were, funnily enough, very often corrupt, you know, had been corrupted, and were really just, you know, because when you're relying on money from elsewhere, you kind of, they had deviated from their mission. So I was super grateful to have this. Sorry, this is a bit of a long-winded explanation.
It's great. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I love this. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was very grateful to have had that experience before, you know, in the very last days that I was in Kathmandu on that trip. I was walking down the back streets of Kathmandu and I saw a woman ahead of me who was physically disabled, struggling to carry these two very full bags, it looked like. And she turned into a tiny tin shed and there were six other women in that tin shed that was basically like, you know, it was really freezing cold concrete, just super, super basic. And these women were sitting down making these candles with hot wax in a big pot over fire and pouring them into ancient looking stainless steel candle makers. And so, you know, it was very exciting for me to kind of discover this. And luckily one of them spoke broken English and I asked her what they were doing, and she said that they were making candles to sell in the market, but because of their disabilities, nobody was really buying the products from them. So and then I kind of learned about the stigma around disability in Nepal. There's a widely held belief that if you're physically disabled, you were evil in a past life.
Yeah.
So yeah, heartbreaking, like for anybody, but just me, like being so excited to meet these women, and I found them to be so enterprising, you know, because at the time there were 10 to 12 hour electricity cuts in Kathmandu. So I thought, how smart that they're making candles because people need to buy them again and again. So, and then to hear that they're not really selling them because of their appearance, you know, for reasons that they can't control. So that was that really started the organisation, which is now called Seven Women, and has now educated, trained, and employed over 6,000 women who are, you know, physically disabled but also marginalised in Nepal, which is very valuable in a place like Nepal because it's a patriarchal society. So women are really 100% dependent on their husbands for food, for education, for their children, and that puts them in a quite a powerless situation, which often leads to domestic violence. So from that, the tin shed that day, I was quite overwhelmed. I was 22 at the time, so it was kind of like, you know, when you're faced with that question, can I make a difference? Like, this is, you know, because I visited the organisations, I didn't want to just give them, I had about $200 left because I was a student at the time. And I thought, I don't want to just give them the money because that's going to run out. Like, is there a way that we can use this $200 to help them get back on their feet? So it was my mum who basically encouraged me to go back the next day. And I remember ringing her from the nearest internet cafe that day and just saying, you know, mum, I've met these seven disabled women, do you think I can make a difference with the $200? You know, basically, do you think one person can make a difference in this situation? And mum said, you know, go for it and you'll be able to make a small difference, and we'll support you in whatever way. I'm not sure if mum realized how much support dad would need to give me over the next decade, you know, and a half, but that really, like, that allowed me to and you know, support these women and build, and you know, the seed of the organization which it is today, which is rippled out to so many other women.
Wow. And how many years ago did you start that, Stephanie?
I think 17 this year, 16 or 17 years ago. Oh, yeah.
Because, yes. And I just want to go back to, it's interesting, right? When you said you're 22, so in numerology, I don't know if you know much about you, that's a master number, right? 22, and you had $200. So there's this, but also I met your mum, like, and this is how we connected. And I met her at some event that we were at. I think we were trying to learn video, right? Probably over 10 years ago now, but she mentioned what you did. And I even just was so about the emotion there, like it was yesterday when she told me, I went, give me that website. And then she invited her. And my small part was just giving the platform. But she's your biggest advocate as well, you know. But and I can just imagine her on that phone to you go, yeah, of course you can do it. You know, that's the kind of appearance that you have. But, and then you just go, all right, I'm going to do it. Right. So, and look at what, like, do you actually sit back and go, and it's not an ego thing, but do you actually go, wow, I freaking did this, you know, I've Do you actually acknowledge that sometimes?
I just feel so, so blessed that I've been able to, you know, follow my passion, and it's led me to that, because what that has given me is, you know, to be surrounded by people with that spirit of generosity, with the volunteers, with the, you know, that these incredible women in Nepal who are so courageous to even, you know, do you know what I mean? And it's given me the most incredible life experience of seeing what is possible when you believe in others and when you really draw out that human potential. So, I mean, that's very, very, it's very kind of special to be able to see that transformation of so many women in Nepal.
Wow. And you've written a book as well. Like, how, I mean, that was a few years back now, isn't it?
So that was 2016, we were awarded this award at the United Nations for Responsible Business. So that got me super excited, because I got to fly there and I had an opportunity to bring somebody. So I brought Mum, because it just so happened that Mum always wanted to go to New York. And it was an incredible opportunity, and Mum absolutely was just like on a high the whole time. She absolutely loved it. So that was an incredible, you know, opportunity for me to bring Mum and give her that experience. But I was very excited about that, and I got home and I wanted to write a book to just document the whole journey, because so much magic happened. You know, there's working in Nepal is not easy. There's so many challenges being a developing country, like so many, do you know what I mean? But we had miracle after miracle, and I always felt supported and kind of guided. So I wanted to document that in a book to inspire others that, you know, you can just kind of take, you know, if you act on your highest excitement with no attachment to the outcome, which I think is a quote that I've seen somewhere. but I love it. That you know, you will see the next step, especially if your goal is for the greater good. I firmly believe that. Yeah,
absolutely. And I just you saying that, and we've heard quotes before, we get inspired for that minute, but it's kind of like you took that and just went, I'm on. Do you know what I mean? Like we can bring up so excuse after it, just I myself have, right? I've had so much resistance. Like, I wanted to come on one of your trips. I'm like, oh no, I'm this, and life gets in the way. It's like, no, bucket list, right? Put it on the bucket list. But you've just blown, you can create that from $200, and there's no other excuse, but you're in that desire. You know, that's the difference. And then, so I know that you're doing something different now, but can I ask you first, like, what do you believe is your purpose?
Well, I think we're always discovering our purpose, but at its core, I probably feel like mine is to just draw the best out in other people, because the ripple effects that can have, you know, Seven Women's an example of that. But I think, you know, I mean, ideally humans would value themselves and understand that incredible life force that we have inside and our power and potential, but you know, that's not the reality all the time, unfortunately. So it really helps if someone else can see that. And, you know, what you do, Luann, as well, create a platform for other people to create opportunities to say, you know, do you want to be on my podcast, or do you want to post your what you're doing on Facebook? You never know the impact that's going to have on others and what step that is in their journey. You know, or do you want to do a Facebook Live? I mean, people have done Facebook Lives on this Facebook group that I started, and that is so massive for them. I didn't realize when I asked them, you know, can you do a Facebook Live, until after, when they said, oh my God, like, I was so nervous, I didn't know what to do. And so I think just, yeah, that is such a privilege to be able to do that for people. And whether it's, you know, the guy at the petrol station when you're filling up petrol, or the guy at the supermarket so I believe that's what my purpose is, and that's been my life quest as well, you know, seeking truth. What is the truth? Because a lot of the time when I was growing up, and I think maybe, you know, having a mum that's a naturopath and being into natural medicine and knowing how much that works, and then seeing her, you know, talking to people that were arguing against natural medicine, and Rudolf Steiner. My sister went to a Rudolf Steiner school. That's very, you know, all about holistic education. And then seeing people that, you know, argued against that, and So a lot of the way that the world operated didn't really make sense to me, and you know, in the mix I was kind of going to Nepal and back to Australia and trying to reconcile those two ways of living at the same time. So I very much feel like I've had to kind of weigh everything up against my gut, especially, you know, when you don't know the language, because you're kind of going off body language sometimes and you're like, how does this feel, you know, does this feel right or not? Yeah.
And sometimes that's the best way too, though, isn't it? Because sometimes words, you know, we can say things that we don't really wholly mean. But if you've got, you know, your intuition's on and you're seeing it, and it's like, oh, this is what I feel they mean, or whatever. So how did you answer the call of your purpose? So I want to put that, like, how did you answer the call? Because it was kind of there. I mean, you just ran towards it. It's like, and then why do you think it's so important to do our purposeful work in the world?
I love these questions. I think, I think even though I was kind of nervous to go to Nepal, I just, the excitement was kind of greater than I just felt like it was something I needed to do, because if I was going to make a difference, and I volunteered for a lot of different organisations just because I wanted to experience as much as possible and see what really ignited me to want to go in that direction. Because, yeah, I suppose I remember the feeling of, you know, my friends in high school knew what they wanted to do and study at uni. I had no idea. And I remember kind of thinking to myself, like, how is everyone so certain about what they want to do? Like, we haven't even experienced anything. So how do you know you want to be like an accountant or a lawyer? So I kind of took a gap year in the end. I went to uni because it was, you know, the thing that everyone was doing. And then I just got a bit kind of lost in the, you know, like, why am I learning about history? this, all these names that, like, I didn't have anywhere to file it. I think it is absolutely critical for people to take steps in the direction of their passion and purpose, you know, even if tiny ones, while they're still working in an area that they're, because, like, the energy that comes from you when you are in that space is, I know it's kind of sounds a bit, you know, it can be intangible, but it's so tangible and it's so real. You know, we've all been around people that, and that's why with Seven Women, I was absolutely on an absolute high when I was starting that organisation, and I attracted so many people. You know, we had 50 volunteers and so much happening, and, like, literally everyone I spoke to who I'd share it with wanted to be involved in some way. And we just grew so much here because of the enthusiasm that was radiating from me, because I was living my purpose.
It's the vibe, right? It's the vibe that everyone wants. And it's not like they're taking from that vibe. It's like we're coming, you're inspiring, you're lighting everyone else's vibe up. You know, you're raising that up. And, yeah, from that magic comes. Wow. Yeah. And so you find, so why is it, why do you think it's important?
For that reason, because energy is everything, I believe, and energy, you know, I think sometimes maybe we, including myself, don't understand how important that energy is. If we're lit up, if we're living our passion, we just have to be, you know, not even necessarily have to take action, or, you know, if painting's your thing, paint, but, like, our energy touches off other people and they feel it, and that energy has the power to ignite their passion for other people. So and I believe that that energy has a flow and a pattern of its own, and if the more we align with that, the more the world kind of corrects itself. Because it's, I mean, I'm not sure about you, but I just think, you know, there's so many things that are just like, you know, I think humanity have become quite lost, you know, and some beyond return type thing at the moment. I just think that if the more we align with that flow, and, you know, I'm not sure if you've seen the Taurus, like, there's the human energy field, the Taurus. The aura, and that there is a flow, like, there is a flow, and the more that we line up with that, which I think, you know, is going towards our, like, if we've been given a vision, I think that vision has come to us for a reason. If we as humans get inspired ideas, you know, the type of ideas that have that energy that really excite you, put it into action immediately, you know, no matter how small it is, because that, you don't know, that's come to you for a reason, and you don't know where that's going to lead. So
and it's always that momentum too. I was talking to somebody else, I think it was yesterday, and it's like they've got this inspired idea. Some can just sit with it, oh no, it's been done before, it's too hard, da da da. But if you just take a small step towards it and then keep that momentum, then it just comes in. It's like when you're talking to me, then I'm feeling, oh, I just want to get into your slipstream. Is that what you call this? It's like, oh yes, we just get into each other's, that positive energy, that, or that tourism, you know. Wow, I love that. So knowing your purpose is really important, and then that's one thing. But to really express that, what kind of practices are the other practices that you, or not other, because we haven't talked about them, but what's a practice that you use to bring that up, you know, to make that real for you, you know? So for something, it's like, well, somebody might say, well, I need to know my values as well and make sure my purpose is aligned to that, or I do past life regression, I clear all my blocks. So what's something for you that you've used?
Oh, that's a really cool question too, because I think, yeah, it is different for everybody. And I think, yeah, for me, it's like my own space, having my own space and just that space and time to think and to connect. Getting out into nature is a big one for me, I think, and just, you know, sitting on the earth, because I think that can take, I mean, there's a fantastic documentary actually that talks about the earth can heal any pain that we have. It kind of, the energy that comes up goes to the part that's in your body. And I've studied Reiki, and, you know, I believe that Reiki is very powerful also. And I've been very drawn to, especially in the last 12 months, and never really occurred to me before, although I was kind of curious, but very drawn to reading the Bible actually lately. So
makes total sense to me. Yeah.
And not just as an interesting book even, but I feel that there's an energy that comes from the text and you know, these kind of key insights that expand, feel very expansive. So that, you know, I've always just kind of gone in the direction of truth and what I feel drawn to, and that's opened up a whole new kind of, and I remember doing a Facebook Live last year when I first discovered it, and I was kind of like, has anyone read the Bible? Like, I just discovered this. And I was sharing a few passages, and a friend of mine in Ireland said to me, you know, sent me a private message saying, Steph, just be careful with your Bible preaching, because, you know, and she's from Ireland, so they've had the big religious war over there.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, it's a very sensitive topic and blah, blah, blah. So which was really interesting, because I realised in that message that, you know, we carry so many thought programs, and we carry, and I didn't have any of those programs.
Exactly.
Because I was just kind of like, this is amazing, and I naturally wanted to share it with others. But yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it?
Well, it is, because you've obviously triggered something there, as in, like, we all get triggered by something. It could have been the Bible, it could have been another book, right? But there's that connotation. But even, I mean, I remember reading it as a little kid, and I was just fascinated by the stories, like the stories, and then the fables, and then metaphors, and then everything in it. And then certainly what's been happening now and on the planet, you know, a lot of people are going back to that. I mean, it's ancient text, so... You know, so we can get really judgy about things like that. But I love that you would, like, well, I didn't have that filter, so it's just inspired me like anything else. So it's so interesting. Yeah, I love that. So I've got here, one of my questions is, who is one of your favorite people that you've worked with? And I mean, you've worked with, not that, you know, that you've done work with, like learning a course, but, you know, somebody could be a client, or could have been one of the women, the seven women, like, and what inspired you about them?
That's a good question, and I've just got to mention the first woman that popped into my mind, which is a woman called Susan Morris. So she's based over in Denver. She's born in Ireland, and she started a company in Belize called Belize Natural Energy. And I was speaking at a conference in Canada a few years ago, and because I'd been speaking at like a lot of different, you know, a lot of different countries, which I loved. It was an amazing life experience, but it was, I was getting a little bit tired because it was towards the end of the year. And I literally was flying to Canada for a day and then back on the plane back home. And I just thought, oh, I wonder if it's, you know, I wonder if I can give this one a miss. But I was like, no, I can't, there's no way I'm going to cancel. But anyway, I was just a little bit kind of tired. And when, so I kind of, I did my talk and then Susan was next, and I just remember sitting in the audience going, oh my goodness, that her energy is absolutely incredible. That's, I want to get that energy back. Like that, that's my normal state of being. What's kind of happened in the last month or so where I've lost that. So Susan mentioned her, I mean, her story is super inspiring and she'd be a great one to interview as well for the podcast.
Right.
She discovered oil in Belize. She was a geologist working in Belize, and she met a local Belizean who said to her, I've had dreams since I was young that there's oil, you know, under Belize, and it's meant to be drilled up by the right person and given back to the community. So they had like 50 years of people drilling for oil, and you know, all the big BP, Shell, and they hadn't, you know, hit oil, and the government had given up. And so, yeah, so Susan mentioned that she did this seminar that her friends had been raving about for years, and she said to this guy, you know, let's do this seminar and see what it's about, because it was all about, you know, connecting up with your intuition and source energy and being guided. And so I kind of heard her mention the seminar, didn't really understand exactly what it was about, but just had a really strong gut feeling, I'm doing that seminar. And the seminar was in the Bahamas, which, you know, I'd never thought of visiting ever before. And so I just kind of went with that gut feeling, which took me, you know, across the world a few months later to the Bahamas to do the next seminar. And that changed my life. So, and after that, I got to spend time with Susan. Sorry, I haven't worked with her, but I feel like I have. She's been a huge person in my life that has, because I spent time, I was lived with her for 3 weeks. So we were in Denver and then we went to Belize, and, you know, we're on the morning radio show and all these speaking engagements in Belize. And then we went for a road trip together to New Mexico. And just, she's someone that has, like, walks her talk. She's so incredible, and she, you know, she just draws the best out in every single person that she meets. And so having the opportunity to experience that and live with, and just the magic in her life on a daily basis is next level. Do you know what I mean? She, I feel like the force is with her. Like, she's just incredible. So, and, you know, all these funny things happened with us when we were, you know, we picked up this hitchhiker in New Mexico. We stopped at this place to get a drink, and we saw this guy, and we were both thinking at the same time, you know, like, oh, you know, let's take him to where he's heading, whatever. So, you know, he smelled a bit like alcohol and whatever, but we said to him, hop in the back, because we were going the same way. And I just started asking him, you know, like, so what, you know, what do you do, and blah, blah, blah. And he said he's written a few books, and I said, oh, what are the books about? And he was explaining this children's book that was about, basically, like, about, you know, all these bubbles sitting on a tree, a branch, and one of the bubbles was saying, let's let go and let flow and see the world. And all the bubbles are saying, no, it's dangerous out there. It's, you know, don't, it's a scary, you'll get killed, blah, 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 you know, all the doubts, fears and worries. Yep. The bubble was just like, no, you know, we've got to
see here.
So, and then the bubble went on this epic journey where he's like, you know, ended up on a whale's back and got shot up with the yes. water of the whale, and then went to the universe and saw, you know. So, and me, I'm just going like, this is so funny. This is so epic. And it had such a magical vibe about it, because the seminar was very much about, you know, experiencing being in the present moment and expanding the consciousness and letting go, like letting go of all the crap that limits us and holds us back. So this guy's children's book captured that, and then he's like, oh yeah, this is my street. So it was something like, you know, Sunshine Avenue, and there were all these sunflowers like lining the road, and then his house was like Rainbow Place or something like that. And it was just like, this is like,
oh my gosh,
imagine. Yeah.
The force is with you, right? Wow. And how lucky is he to be in your car, and vice versa, that he got in and that how inspirational. Man, I love that. I love that. So what are you like? I know that you mentioned something about your Facebook group. Like, can you tell us a little bit about that, what you're doing in there? And is that open for anyone to come in, or is there certain
It's open for everyone. It was just last year during, you know, the lockdowns and all the rest of it, I just felt a really strong desire to bring people together, bring like-minded people together, keep the positive messages happening, like keep connected to, and you know, use it as an opportunity to connect to yourself, to nature again, to, you know, when the busyness kind of settled down a little bit. So I just started a Facebook group called Inspiring Humans, and that was, you know, just added all of these amazing people that I've met in all different countries. And it was, it's just really amazing because people just post inspiring quotes that they come across, but a lot of people jumped on and did Facebook Lives introducing themselves, and a lot of connections are formed through people just knowing that it's a group of people that, you know, have the same kind of values and want to make a go at their life. And so, and then out of that, you know, I developed the podcast called Inspiring Humans. So that's really just, I want to shine a light, you know, as you're doing as well, on people that are out there, you know, living their passion and purpose, to encourage more people to do that. Do a few blog posts that I, you know, put in there, and online challenges for people around taking action, writing.
I love your challenge. Basically
challenges, you know, like I mean, I don't really like that word. I'd love to come up with a better word.
See, this is the thing. Every time I wanted to say, if I want to challenge myself with something, I would just go into my group like, right, let's do a decluttering challenge. And I love the word challenge. And then these people would, some of the women would say, could you just call it something else? I'm like, what's wrong with challenge? And then you just brought that up. I'm thinking, oh, okay. And I went, let's do a declutter deer. So that kind of sparks people. But what's it about challenge? What do you mean? Why don't we like that word?
I suppose the power of language.
It is.
So challenge traditionally means, like, you know, it's going to be a struggle. So but I suppose, you know, I mean, it's a perception of it, but just, you know, just a group that people can feel safe in to start exploring or developing, stepping in the direction of their purpose together. So, you know, whether it's writing a book or taking action for a week and just going, all right, I'm just going to do this for a week and see what comes of it, that sort of a thing.
It's those small steps, isn't it? Sorry, it's those small steps. You know, sometimes we go, well, let's do a 30-day challenge, but then it's like, well, just do 5 days or just do 3 days. You know, just break it down. Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah,
and just to have people around that are like-minded, because I think that's critical as well. You know, when you're stepping into a new, out of your comfort zone a little bit, which is where the magic happens, but to have like-minded people with you is really draws it out even more, I think. So I suppose the end goal for that group is, I'd love to create a global network, which we have done. It's kind of a bit forming at the moment. It's a bit informal, but called Seven Continents Council. So, a global network. Like, I've got a lot of friends that have beautiful bits of land and retreats in different parts of the world. And imagine if we could create an online community of people that just knew that they could go and visit there when they were, you know, just that could connect with people online now that everyone's used to doing that. I think that's...
I think that last that year that we will not speak of, but you know, it has taught us to get online so we can connect in a bigger way. Do you know what I mean? And even though sometimes we want to get offline and, like you say, go out into nature, but it's taught us, because we've had to. Like, we want to connect to people. We want to feel people. We want to be in that presence. But we can do it this way to a big degree. And we'll put all the links on to sevenwomen.org and all your other links to your Facebook at the bottom of this. So, oh my God, I could keep talking to you all day. I feel like I'm on a high already. So as we come to an end, I always like to ask people, you know, tell us something that we don't know that you don't know, that most people don't know about yourself? Could be a funny thing that's happened to you, or could be a deep thing, like it's up to you. But what's something that you can share with us that not many people know? Well, your mum and dad know, but
I absolutely love Ireland and the whole culture and the feeling of being in Ireland. That's kind of something that, so I've been to Ireland. I've lived there a few times and for periods of time. I love dolphins and I love massages. They're probably my three favourite things in the world.
And do you love Guinness as well?
Not really.
That's the one thing I love. I used to work for a brewery in New Zealand. I love Guinness, but it's kind of funny.
I actually, last time I lived in Ireland, which was only 2018 actually, I've always wanted to work in an Irish pub. And so I went over there and I lived there and I was like, okay, I'm going to manifest working in, you know, top pub in Ireland with, you know, one of those iconic old ones with Irish customers as well as, you know, the tourists, and live in the centre of the city in a really nice apartment. Yeah. And so I did both and it was hilarious. And I was, you know, I had my staff in Nepal saying to me, you know, my friend Padam, who works with us, was saying, Steph, that's not so good. You know, you're meant to be the CEO of Seven Women. You can't be seen to be working in a pub. That's not very good, you know, because over there it's, you know, different. You cannot work in a pub. Yeah. So, yeah, it was really funny. But it was I was on such a high from the generosity of the customers, you know. Like they would just like they. I didn't even know tips was a thing over there. But I'd kind of leave each shift with heaps of, like, even more than I was getting paid for the, you know, even if people were paying by card, they would have a pile of coins in their pocket that they would put down as this. But more than that, just like even just seeing them argue with each other for like 5 minutes who was going to pay, I just loved that. I was like, oh my god, this is so nice.
Oh, that is hilarious. I love it. And I love how you said I wanted to go in the top, you know, one of the original kind of Irish pubs, and I want to live in a top apartment. See, it's not one or the other, it's both. I love how you do that. Well, Stephanie, it has been an absolute joy speaking with you, and I hope to get you back again soon. But is there any last words? I'll put all the links below, and it's just been a joy. I'm sure you've inspired many, many people who are watching this. But any last words before we end?
No last words, but I just wanted to kind of say a huge thank you to you, because you're like, I've been able to grow Seven Women so well and with great encouragement because of people like you. And I remember, you know, you've given us in your amazing conferences that you've done a stall for us to sell our products from Nepal. And so I just wanted to say a huge thank you, because I will always value that so much. And, you know, you never forget people that have supported you along the way, because that, I mean, that's the reason why now we've won awards and, you know, more people, more visibility, and bigger platforms. So thanks so much for being one of those encouragers on the journey.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I mean, and it was not even, I didn't even think about it. It was like, oh yeah, oh, that's whatever I can, you know. And that's also, and I will take that, thank you, because I don't want to deflect this, but it's also because of your huge vision and your big heart, and you just went with it. It's like, yeah, well, let's get on board, let's get on some of her train, you know. So thank you as well. All right, Stephanie, well, thank you so much. Okay, bye everyone, bye.